So Hebrews chapter 11, I said to find it yourselves, and I haven't found it myself. So. We're not going to read it straight away, and we're not going to read the whole thing. You'll be pleased to know, because it's quite a long chapter. But this is a great chapter in the Bible, all about faith. And it chronicles the heroes of faith through the Old Testament, the first half section of the Bible, and it goes through how people did great exploits of faith for God. So some samples. By faith, it says, Noah built an ark. A massive great boat. In the middle of a place where there wasn't really any water, and probably was being laughed at, just because God told him to do it, he built this boat. By faith, Abraham and Sarah went to left all they knew, their homeland, their family, and their country, and went to a place they did not know, because God told them to. By faith, Moses led God's people out of slavery in Egypt, risking the anger of the king of Egypt, Pharaoh. By faith, God's people walked around walls of a city called Jericho 7 times, believing that the walls would fall down after they did it, because God had told them to, and they did. By faith, Rahab, a prostitute, hid some of God's people in her house so that they wouldn't be killed, risking that she would get killed herself if they got found out. Time and time again, by faith, this happened. By faith, this happened. By faith, this happened. I think the author is trying to get a point across. Faith is the crucial ingredient if we want to see things happen, mighty things happen in the purposes of God. I don't know about you, but I want to see amazing things happen around where we are right now, in Chester Street and surrounding. I want to see great things happen. And God's saying, what's the state of your faith? And my heart at the moment, and just as I've been journeying through in recent weeks and months, and God's been just doing stuff in me, is, Lord, give me more faith. Lord, give us more faith. See, the things we've just listed, the things that these guys did in the Old Testament, were stupid things. I mean, leaving all that you know and leaving what's comfortable and going somewhere new is stupid, really. Like, just humanly, people said, why do that? Why leave that security and that comfort? Walking around walls 7 times, expecting them to fall down, is stupid. Humanly. Faith makes you do stupid things. Or what other people might say, that's stupid. That is risky. That is dangerous. Faith does that. And I want to challenge us and stir us this morning. Are we, it might not be right now we're in the middle of it because, you know, there are seasons, but are we living lives which are by faith, which cause us to do what some might say risky, stupid, dangerous things? Because that's the Christian life that we're called to. And right at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 11 in verses 1 and 2, or 1 really, it says this. Now faith is the assurance, or better translation is the substance of things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. So it gives kind of a two-part definition of what this faith thing is. This faith that causes people to do stupid things. Faith is the assurance, the substance of things not seen. Exactly the same word, which is best translated substance, is used in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, about Jesus, where it says Jesus is, kind of literal translation, the substance of the invisible God. In other words, Jesus makes visible what is invisible. And so apply that to this verse. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, faith makes visible future hopes. What we really hope for, faith will lay hold of those things and make them a reality. Faith apprehends what God has said, the promises of God, the purposes of God, and it sort of draws them into the here and now. Now, don't get me wrong. We can't manipulate God into doing things. So obviously we're relying on the power of God. It's the power of God that does stuff. But there is a human side to the equation. Although the divine side is important, the human side, and what's massive on the human side is faith. We want to see great things happen, the power of God's needed, but from our side we're saying, Lord, I have faith, and faith is going to motivate me and drive me to doing crazy things for you. Do you have hopes? dreams and desires in your heart. I hope you have some. And I hope some of them are orientated around the kingdom of God. Because as Christians, we should have these. If we don't, the first thing is to say, God, give me some hopes, dreams, and desires for your kingdom. If you have them, then faith is needed to make them a reality. In Matthew 13, verse 58, it's a little verse, it says this, that Jesus didn't do many mighty works in Nazareth because of their unbelief. Some might say, well, faith isn't really that important. There's a lot of mystery, don't you? There's a lot of components involved in great things happening in our town, in our region. But seemingly, faith is a key ingredient in the mix. Because a lack of faith seemed to restrict Jesus doing mighty works in Nazareth. Could a lack of faith restrict in some way, and I'm not saying God's sovereign over it all, so don't mishear me, but in some way, a lack of faith could restrict all that God wants to do in us and through us. And I'm desperate for us to be a church where there's this culture, this atmosphere of faith, a culture and atmosphere that we're believing that God is truly a God of the impossible, that God truly can do things that are beyond, as I was praying just now, what we can even dream and imagine. He is awesome. Let faith rise in our hearts. And so it's the substance of things hoped for, but faith also is the conviction of things not seen. I think that word conviction is really helpful. I find it helpful. It's like if someone says to me, I'm wearing contact lenses today, I think, yeah. Sometimes I double check. Sometimes I go take off my glasses and realize, oh, they're not there. It's like if someone says to me, I'm not wearing my glasses or my contact lenses, they say about some flower in the distance, isn't that a beautiful flower? And I say, oh, yeah, I'll take your word for it. All I can see is this, like, maybe pink. I'm not colorblind. So, yeah, this pink blur. But I'll take your word for it. But there's not really any conviction. Then I put my glasses on and I see the flower myself and suddenly, wow, it really is beautiful. You're right. And conviction comes. And it's like faith is like putting on those glasses where we kind of, people say, oh, God's powerful, God could do this. And we say, oh yeah, I'll take your word for it. That's not the way to live. Christian life. We live by faith and not by sight. And when we live by faith, say, God really is powerful. And we're the ones who are telling others, come on, God is amazing. He really can do this in your life, in your town, in your church. He can do the impossible. And we want to be people where faith is rising in our hearts. We're living by faith and not by sight. Do you ever think the Christian life is boring? Wow. Okay, I do sometimes. So maybe, but that's when I go into living by sight mode, it gets a bit boring. Because I'm just going through the motions. I pray it's not very often, but it does happen in my life. So there we are, confession. Where it's just like I'm just kind of living comfortably and just getting by and just going through the motions of everything. That's not what we're called to. We're called to live by faith, and living by faith means it's an adventure. And the Jesus-following life is meant to be an adventure. And we all want adventure. It's an amazing way of connecting with our culture, because actually, we're not saying come into this religion. We're saying come and join us in an adventure. People around us want adventure. Some of us, I believe, and just as I've been preparing this, some of us have started to get a bit settled and we're just sort of meandering through life. There's a quote, I think, where it's sort of you're tiptoeing through life just hoping to get to the end. Whereas God's calling us to run, skip and hop through life. To embrace the adventure that God has given to us, taking risks. Faith, some say, is spelled R-I-S-K. Actually, true faith will lead us to do humanly risky. It's not actually a risk, because if we're living by faith, God's in charge, he knows what he's doing. So that could, again, be misinterpreted. But it is what some would say, you're doing risky things by doing that. But that is the life we're called to. And I believe it's a time for a new season of faith where we press into the more that God has for us. Living by faith, living not by sight. Not by what's humanly possible, but by what God says is possible. In other words, all things. Living by faith is closely connected to actually leaning on the Holy Spirit and responding to what the Holy Spirit says and doing what he says. Because when the Holy Spirit speaks, faith rises. It's not just doing stupid stuff, like, for the sake of it. It's doing stupid stuff because the Holy Spirit spoke. Amen? Good. So, Ira and Ola are wonderful examples of faith. And it was great they're here this morning, because I just think it's amazing to hear that, you know, they're going as a family into this into this war zone, this place where there's all sorts of issues, and they're saying, actually, God has spoken, God has called us, and we will go. But it's not just for the people who go to the DRC. It's for the people who live in Chester Street. It's for you, and it's for me. Live by faith and not by sight. They're on that Hebrews 11 list as well, if the Bible continues to be written, but so can we be. We can make it, and it's not about having a reputation, but it's about actually, as we get on the Hebrews 11 list of people who live by faith and not by sight, suddenly stuff starts happening. Walls come tumbling down. People get set free from slavery. Lives are transformed. People who would have been killed are actually not killed any longer. That's the life I want. I want a life which has purpose and meaning and does something for the kingdom of God. Not because I'm special, not because I'm trying to make a name for myself, but because I want Jesus to be honored and Jesus to be glorified. Let's join the adventure. And very practically, for us as a church in Chester Street, it's a new season. And one of the other things I wanted to share today, which I shared at a prayer meeting, and it's kind of gone around in some places, but probably not everyone knows, is that we are currently looking into the possibility of buying a building as a church in the Avenues area of the town. And it's an old social club, and it's something which, personally, faith has risen hugely in my heart for it. There's lots of things to overcome, and the thing I would say to you now, we're not going to go into detail because at the moment it's very early stages, but could you pray? We've had a few dead ends on buildings. That's fine, because we're just seeking to respond to God. The right one he will enable to happen. And so could you pray? Could you pray, firstly, there's a covenant on it to remain a pub, which I think can be overcome, like even humanly overcome, but certainly can be overcome in the purposes of God. So could you pray that that isn't an issue? Could you also pray for finances and how we explore that? And could you pray for yourselves? Because if we take something like that on, it will mean all hands on deck. Because we're going to need an army of people getting involved to serve the community as we take on a building which is for the community. But it's not all about buildings. That's just an example right now of something God is potentially putting before us to step into in faith. But for each of us as individuals, as well as corporately, what is it God is stirring us? What is God saying? There's that thing, by faith, I'm calling you to do, to step into, to talk to that person. And amazing things can happen if we're a church which do that. And for the last 10 minutes or so, I wanted to just press on to verses 33 onwards, the end of the chapter, thanks God. Because being a people of faith sounds kind of nice. Yeah, let's have an adventure. And you go through this long list, and then you get to the end of Hebrews chapter 11, and suddenly you realize, maybe I don't want to be a person of faith after all. Because the big message, if you like, that if you hear nothing else from this morning, the big thing I want you to hear is that living a life of faith goes hand in hand with living a life, a costly life, a life which involves suffering and discomfort. I mean, even if we just go through the previous, all the different examples, and you go through the actual stories of the guys, men and women who live by faith, you see that actually there was a lot of cost in each of their lives. But then explicitly at the end of chapter 11, we read these words. So let's just read them. We'll start from verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms. Yes, come on, I want that. Who enforced justice. Yes. Who obtained promises, hallelujah. Who stopped the mouths of lions, that would be cool. Who quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Everyone's saying, I want in, I want this faith thing. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves. Yeah. Living by faith is not the easy life. It's the life of adventure, but it's not the easy life. It's a life which will involve discomfort. There's a lie, I think, that actually can pervade the church very easily. And you can point fingers, but it can pervade, I'm sure it can pervade us as well, where if we have enough faith, then we'll have a life of health and wealth, and everything will just be tickety-boo. They might not use that word, but everything will just be fine, and it will be lovely, and it will be good. That is not the message of the Bible. If you pick a few verses out, maybe you can get, but the thrust of the Bible, the New Testament in particular, is Jesus says, I'm pining, in fact, Hebrews chapter 12 goes on and talks about Jesus as the author, the pioneer, and the perfecter of our faith. And what does that mean? What was the pioneer? How did he show us what faith looks like? It says he endured the cross. He died on a cross. And now he says to all his followers, come and follow me in the way of the cross, which is living by faith and not by sight, which will mean enduring a cost. We want lives of faith that lead to great churches, great church plants, great advances in justice, great salvation in the lives of our friends, our family, great deliverances from sickness. The list, we want these things by faith. But they don't just happen. It's by faith. And faith means follow Jesus in the way of the cross. We need to be willing to pay the cost that a life of faith will demand. That might mean taking a lower income, or it might mean being so generous that we don't have the same luxuries that others who have the same income as us are on have. It might mean being rejected by people we love because we're different. It might mean losing your job because you stand up for what is right. It might mean moving house or moving area or whatever as you respond to the call of God. It might even mean more hardship and attack, sickness and premature death. Okay, the last one potentially in our nation is unlikely, but it might mean it. And Satan can do all he wants to destroy the church, so if he can do that, he'll do that as well. And God has been challenging me to the core as I've, which this kind of message has come out as I've been grappling with this passage, but for months really, of just what am I really living for? Am I really living by faith or by sight? He's been asking me to die to myself and live to his glory. And that's the question he asks all of us on a repeated basis, I think. What are you living for? Die to yourself, live to my glory. Die to yourself, live to my glory. And it's a daily decision that we need to make. Because it affects everything. Like, this isn't just talking about what we do on a Sunday or are we going to a different nation. It's our everyday decision making. Our time, our energy, our money, our relationships, our everything is affected by really what are you living for, and are you living by faith or by sight? It's very easy to say to God, I'll go this far and no further. But he says, follow me, whatever the cost. And when you kind of think, how on earth do people do it? And where does this faith come from? And I think faith is very, very closely tied to hope. And if you just look at verse 35, it's a really interesting verse where it talks about women receiving back their dead by resurrection. That's kind of like faith which leads to kind of a good outcome, to get their dead back. It's probably talking about women who were linked to Elijah and Elisha in the Old Testament, saw their sons resurrected. But they died eventually, so it was a kind of temporary resurrection. And then it goes on, some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that literally they might receive a better resurrection. Is that exactly the same words, but a better one? And so he's saying there is a resurrection, if you like, a temporary resurrection in this life, which is okay, but everyone's going to die one day. But there is a better resurrection that enables us to have faith because our eyes are on the life that is to come, the future glory that awaits us, which is, if you read Paul's letters, that's exactly how he lives the whole time. And we're living so much with that future hope in our minds that it drives us to live by faith in the here and now. Because this life's just so short and so quick. And actually, there is so much better to come. The that so I can live by faith and not by sight. I don't have to be clinging on for dear life with what I've got right now, because actually I can give away knowing there is something, a far greater reward beyond. And we could talk about all sorts of things. I don't have time to talk about this here, but why this resurrection is better, why this life to come is better. It's suffering-free. There's Bible verses you can look at. Suffering-free. It's permanent, never-ending. We will have new bodies, which I think I mentioned a few weeks ago and made a bit of a mess of that, because our current bodies are also good, but they'll be even better, and it's going to be an amazing thing. So if you like, when we're thinking of faith, it's so bound up with hope, we could also ask the question, where is our hope? Where is your hope? Is it on the here and the now, or is it on what's to come? Is it on the next holiday, or the next week, or just getting through this thing, or is actually your hope ultimately in the life that is to come? We'll start holding on to things much more loosely, and we'll be willing to sacrifice. Jesus says, whoever wants to come after me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever would save their lives will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake and the gospel will save it. And the amazing thing about a message like this is it's not Jesus isn't saying, come and just go and do something which I haven't already done. We've already considered and seen Jesus was the pioneer. He's done it already. He's not saying, pay that cost, make that sacrifice, just and trying to twist our arm. He's saying, look at what I have already done. I have already laid down my life for you. I've already given you everything. You already have a hope that can never be taken away from you, which goes beyond the grave. And so now live in the light of it. Live by faith and not by sight. Live with a life that is laid down for me. Let it affect every aspect of our lives, every part of our decision-making process. And before you start feeling guilty, know that we're all on a journey. Isn't by sight. Will. I guess. And follow me in this way of the cross.